Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Malka Bat Allegra, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Ze Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Barry Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. If Rabbi Meir Kahana, of blessed memory, our great leader, had not been banned by the fascist rulers of Israel, who are fascists, who are Bolshevik fascists, if he had not been banned from running more than 30 years ago in the 1980s, he would have eventually been elected Prime Minister of Israel, and that would have ushered in the Messianic era. We're going to explain what Rabbi Kahana stood for, how he would have gotten elected Prime Minister, and what an unbelievable tragedy it was that he was eventually banned from running in Israel. First of all, let's start off by explaining what Rabbi Kahana stood for, what his great platform was. Rabbi Kahana and Tnuat Kach, the Kach movement, which was his party in Israel, advocated the following. Number one, they advocated that every Jewish child should receive a Torah education. What does that mean? That doesn't mean forcing the Jews in Israel to follow the mitzvot of the Torah. There's no practical way to do that at this particular time in history. But what it does mean is that Jewish children would have been required to learn what it says in the Torah and what the mitzvot, the commandments are in the Torah, and what it says in the Tanakh, in the Bible. In other words, what Judaism teaches, Judaism and the Torah and the Tanakh, the Bible, would have been a major subject, and they would have had to learn it just like they have to learn math, and just like they have to learn computers, and just like they have to learn all the other subjects that you have to learn in school. This would have been a required subject, and you would have had a religious instructor, who believes in the Torah, who's a Torah Jew, who would have been teaching the children of Israel. There would have been religious instructors to teach them, and they would have learned, and then they make up their own minds whether or not they're going to observe the mitzvot, the commandments or not. They would make up their own minds, but at least they would know what it says. They already have, or had in the past, Bible instruction, but it's being taught by anti-religious teachers who distort what it says in the Bible. And so, they would have learned this just like any other subject, except we believe that if Jewish kids had a religious instructor for this particular subject, and if this had been a major subject in their curriculum every year that they go to school, that eventually the vast majority of them would choose to be religious Jews, that they would choose to observe, and we would have very quickly a generation of Jews who would return to Torah values and return to the values that Judaism commands the Jewish people to follow. So that was the first thing in his platform, in Rabbi Kahana's platform. Torah education for every Jewish child. And that would have eventually created a nation where we would have had Jews who are not ignorant of the Torah and ignorant of Judaism, but instead would know at least what it says and would be able to choose their course in life, their path in life, after knowing what the Torah offers. The second thing that Rabbi Kahana advocated doing is encouraging the Arab Muslim Nazi enemy of Israel to leave. And those who are hostile, those who have a record of hostility, forcibly removing them. Now, almost all the Arabs in Israel hate the Jews, and the Muslims are taught to hate the Jews. The Islamic religion teaches hatred of the Jews and teaches hatred of all non-Muslim infidels. Rabbi Kahana would have removed the Arab Muslim Nazi enemy of Israel. That means millions of Arab Muslims who are sworn to destroy Israel and if there are other enemies of Israel that are not Muslim but have a history of hostility toward the Jews, they also would have been part of this. They would have been removed as well. They would have been out. Do you know what the state of Israel would be like? Do you know what Israeli society would be like if you didn't have millions of Muslims there now, sucking up tens of billions of dollars, of course, in the budget, creating tremendous security problems and terrorist problems, all types of problems, assimilation problems, thousands of Jewish girls marry Arab Muslims, and that creates, of course, a horrific tragedy for the Jewish people. If we didn't have this in Israel, if we had a truly Jewish state where the population was almost all Jewish, do you have any idea what paradise the state of Israel would be, what a paradise Israel would be? Rabbi Kahana was going to do that. And he was going, that's the second thing, Torah education for Jewish children, remove the Arab Muslim Nazi enemy. Third thing, he was going to create a free market economy. Israel has enormous tax burdens, tremendous regulation. It's like a socialist country. If you unleash Jewish brain power and you had a truly free market economy, do you have any idea what would happen to Israel? Israel already has more startup companies, more technology advances per capita by far than any other country in the world. Again, per capita, in other words, meaning in proportion to the size of the country. It's a small country with only 6 million Jews. But if you had that Jewish brain power unleashed, and you didn't have high taxes, and you didn't have socialism, and you didn't have bureaucracy holding down and preventing entrepreneurship and innovation, Israel would build the best technology, would have the best companies and the most advances and the greatest medical advances by far. The benefits for Israel and for the world would be so enormous. It's beyond description how enormous it would be. And Rabbi Kahana would have created that. He would have freed the Israeli economy and freed the Israeli market with low taxes, low regulation, with minimal government intervention. And it would have been, I mean, again, paradise. It would have been like Gan Eden, paradise on earth. Gan Eden is the Garden of Eden. It would have been like recreation of Gan Eden, of the Garden of Eden. And a fourth thing is that Rabbi Kahana would have created an independent Israel that gets no so-called foreign aid. The so-called foreign aid is the worst thing for Israel. Israel easily has the ability to be completely independent militarily, economically. That doesn't mean you don't have relations with other nations and you don't trade with other nations. You trade with them in a mutually beneficial way. But you don't have the United States sending $3 or $4 billion a year to Israel and then creating this false dependency, this artificial dependency, where the United States then can dictate to Israel what its policies have to be. The foreign aid would have ended. Israel would be independent militarily, economically, and otherwise. And Israel would have better weapons, better technology, a far better economy, and would benefit tremendously, tremendously. If there were no foreign aid, if it wasn't for foreign aid and this artificial dependency that the cowardly, ghetto-minded Jews of Israel like Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud and the phony right and the open left, they have created this mentality because they're cowards and they're faithless Jews and they don't understand the destiny of the Jewish people. So that's just four things. There are many other aspects to his platform, but four key things that we just wanted to mention quickly. Again, Torah education for every Jewish child, removing the Muslim Nazi enemy from Israel, free market economy, and an independent Israel with no foreign aid. Israel would be a booming, magnificent, beautiful country, a safe country, a wonderful country in every respect if this had happened and Rabbi Kahana would have implemented these policies. Now, I stated that Rabbi Kahana, if he had not been banned from running, would have eventually become prime minister. The reason they banned him is because they knew that eventually he was going to be elected prime minister. Just like Donald Trump eventually was elected president of the United States. Of course, Donald Trump, which means thousands and thousands of difference. I hate to even mention them in the same sentence. Donald Trump is an immoral, moronic individual. We supported him as a lesser of the evils against Joe Biden, but he's a complete immoral moron, and to compare him and compare what he did to Rabbi Kahana is like is night and day. It's preposterous. But the way Donald Trump got elected is because people thought he was telling it like it is. He wasn't, but people thought he was telling it like it is, and they liked that, and enough people liked that, so he got elected. Because in the United States, you have a genuine democracy. Even though you have a media that's left-wing, and even though you have an establishment that hated Donald Trump, despite that, he was allowed to run. And he was allowed to get elected, and the American people were allowed to mobilize on his behalf, and so on and so forth. He was allowed to actually get elected. In Israel, none of that was even permitted. Rabbi Kahana was banned, completely banned, and not allowed to run. And his party was declared illegal. If that had not happened, here's what was going to play out if he had been allowed to run. In 1984, Rabbi Kahana won one seat in the Knesset. He got 1.2% of the total vote. People vote for parties in Israel. You don't vote for the candidates. Your party runs. And it's a proportional representation in the Knesset. The Knesset is the Israeli parliament. In the Knesset, there are 120 seats. Rabbi Kahana got one out of the 120 seats. So he was the solitary member of his party, and he got one seat. Now you have to win at least four seats in order to get in. You have to have at least four seats. But Rabbi Kahana, in those days, you only had to win one seat. You had to win the one seat. You had to have 1%. You had to win a minimum of 1% of the vote. And if you got 1% of the total national vote, you'd win a seat. And Rabbi Kahana did that, and he had one seat in 1984. As a result of his getting elected, he got so much attention, which is one seat out of 120 seats. He got so much attention that a study showed that the Israeli media was covering him more than the Prime Minister of Israel. That's how much attention he got. That's how much the Israeli people were interested, many of them against and many of them for him, but they were intensely interested in everything he said and did. Just like with Donald Trump when he was running in 2016, 2015, 2016. If you remember, there was wall-to-wall coverage of Donald Trump at that time. He was on all the time, all they did, everybody. That's all people spoke about. That's all you saw on television. That's all you saw in the news. That's all you saw on the internet was Donald Trump for and against. People for him, people against him. Rabbi Kahana created that with only one seat in the Knesset. He created that. You can imagine if he had been allowed to run and get far more. As a result of that, in 1988, when the next election was going to be held, the polls showed that he was going to win 12 seats or more. 12 seats would have been one-tenth, 10% of the 120 seats in the Knesset. So he already would have been, it would have been the third largest party in the Israeli Knesset. He would have had the balance of power between the two major parties, because the two major parties have to form a coalition to get a majority in the Knesset and form a new government. He would have been the balance of power. He would have had at least 12 seats, at least 10% of the Knesset seats. And that would have made him a tremendous, powerful force in Israeli politics. Even with one seat, he was a force in that he got so much attention and created so many new ideas in Israel. With 12 seats, you can imagine what would have happened. And the poll showed that if he had gotten those 12 seats in the next election, people were asked, well, if assuming Rabbi Kahana would win 12 seats and would be the third largest party, what would, in the next election, would you consider voting for him to actually make him prime minister? And polls showed a majority of Israeli Jews said that they would have voted for Rabbi Kahana. They would at least have considered voting for Rabbi Kahana in the next election if he had gotten to the point where he would be allowed to run and get 12 seats. And with 12 seats, he runs for prime minister. The majority of Israeli Jews indicated they would have been willing to seriously consider voting for him for prime minister, which means he would have gotten it. He would have become prime minister. And so that created a panic. And the Israeli commentators at the time and the people in the Knesset that spoke about it, they banned him because they knew that if they didn't ban him, he eventually would have taken power. And the people who banned him, who led the ban, were not just leftists, were not just the usual socialist, communist, left-wing, self-hating filth, like the Labour Party and these others. It wasn't just them. Shulamit Aloni, Yimach Shema V'Zichra. She was an extreme leftist who sponsored the bill to ban him. Her co-sponsor was Geula Kohen, Yimach Shema V'Zichra, Shem Reshaim Yirkav. May her name and memory be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. Geula Kohen of the phony right, she co-sponsored the ban. And the Likud, they all voted for it. The Likud is supposed to be the so-called right party, right-wing party in Israel. Complete fraud. Like the Republicans in America, they're not real conservatives. And the Likud even more so than the Republicans. And so they all voted to ban Rabbi Kahana because they all wanted his votes. They didn't want him to take power. They wanted to keep power for themselves. So they just decided to ban him from running, and the Israeli Supreme Court unanimously confirmed the ban, while allowing Arab Muslim parties that openly call for the destruction of Israel and that commit massive terrorist acts in Israel, I mean, that support terrorist acts in Israel and mass murder of Jews, they were allowed to run. Rabbi Kahana was banned from running because they said he was a racist and it violated the racist law. They said it was a racist because he wanted to remove Israel's Arab Muslim Nazi enemies from Israel. That's racist. And by the way, he didn't say he would remove every single Arab. He would only remove those who were enemies, the enemies of Israel, and encourage them to leave. Those who had demonstrated, the very few Arabs are in this category, but the very few Arabs who had demonstrated that they're not the enemies of Israel, Rabbi Kahana would not have removed. So removing people that are hot, that are openly hostile to the state and want to destroy the state, or encouraging them to leave, even with compensation, and he had a plan for giving compensation to some of them. He wouldn't give compensation to the ones who had proven that they were hostile to Israel, the ones who had proven they're hostile, who had records of who had been arrested for terrorism and so on, and supported terrorists. Those he would have removed without compensation. But the other Arabs who had no proven record of hostility to Israel, he would have removed with compensation. They said that's racist. To remove the Arabs and have them move to Arab countries or to other nations in the world, and the many nations in the world that would have wanted them, by the way. Canada wants Arab workers. Canada had a population shortage and wants and still does. Australia wants more population and would accept more population. I mean, there are countries that would accept more people, and that Romania requested a million foreign workers, wanted a million foreign workers. But those are Western countries. But there are countries in Africa, for instance, where if the Arabs went with compensation, if they went to these African countries, they'd live like kings there if they had compensation, financial compensation from Israel. Because in Africa, they would live like kings in these black African countries. And in other Arab countries, there are other Arab countries that would have could have gone. So, by the way, hundreds of thousands of Arabs leave Israel all the time. If not for that, they would have taken over the country a long time ago, because they used to have a larger population growth than the Jews. Now the Jews are growing at a faster rate than them. But they used to have a larger population growth for many years than the Jews, but hundreds of thousands of them already left. So many of them left. The vast majority want to leave. They want to leave. Polls show the vast majority of Arabs in Israel want to leave. They're not happy there. They want to go. They want to go to other countries. Certainly if they had been offered compensation and were assisted by the Israeli government in relocating, they would gladly have done it. So he would have gotten them out. And because of that, that was called racist. He also would have banned intermarriage between Jews and Arabs. He would have said intermarriage between Jews and Arabs is not permitted, and which is what Torah Judaism says. And they said that's racist to be against intermarriage between Jews and Arabs. If that's racist, then the whole Jewish religion is racist. And then the Torah is racist, and the Bible is racist, because that's what the Bible says. You shall not give your daughters to their sons and your sons to their daughters. I mean, these are commandments that God gave in the Bible. So they're saying God is a racist, and they're saying the Bible is racist, and they're saying the Torah is racist. That is what they said. By their decree. And the religious parties in Israel, the so-called religious parties, another bunch of political prostitutes, they allowed this to go on and never said a thing and never spoke up and never defended Rabbi Kahana during this time. Because when they banned Rabbi Kahana, they in effect banned genuine Judaism. They banned what the Torah commands us to do. So they banned Rabbi Kahana from running, and the evil left-wing Supreme Court went along with it. And what happened? We know what happened. Eventually, Rabbi Kahana, 2 years later, after he was banned in 1988, 2 years later in November 1990, 30 years ago, this month, 30 years ago, Rabbi Kahana was the first victim of Al-Qaeda Islamic terrorism. The first thing Al-Qaeda did was murder Rabbi Kahana. That was their first act in New York. November 1990, they assassinated Rabbi Kahana. It was their very first action. They wanted him out of the way first. And by the way, they said in the trial, they had tapes of them in the trial saying, we wanted to get the big Jew out of the way. They, even when he was banned, they viewed him as the big Jew, the dangerous Jew, because they knew that he meant what he said, and he said what he meant, and that he would have implemented a policy that would have put an end to their terrorism and would have made this a safer world for everybody. Because an Israel led by Rabbi Kahana would have made this a safer world for everybody. We would have not only had a safer world. The recreation of the State of Israel in 1948, after 2,000 years of exile, is the beginning of the Messianic era, is the beginning of the Geulah, the redemption. The third return, this is the third return of the Jews to the land of Israel to build the third temple eventually. This is the beginning of the redemption, and it's going to come. This Israel will never be destroyed. The State of Israel as it exists now can never be destroyed. It will live. This Israel will last forever. You can have terrible tragedy, and even millions of Jews there, God forbid, could be murdered in a nuclear attack or whatever, but they will never completely destroy the State of Israel or the Jews of Israel. That will never happen. This State of Israel will eventually become the Messianic Israel. That's going to happen now. This is the beginning of the Messianic era. The Messianic era started in 1948 when Israel was recreated after 2,000 years. It's the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Now, since 1948, the Messiah has been knocking on the door wanting to come in. We could have had the Mashiach, the Messiah, a long time ago. 1967 Six-Day War is a perfect example. That was a spectacular victory of biblical proportions, where in six days, tiny Israel, outnumbered 100-1, beat back the whole Arab world. In 6 days, defeated the whole Arab world, outnumbered 100-1, and quadrupled in size. Israel was 4 times her original size in only 6 days. I mean, these are miracles right out of the Bible. So the Messiah has been knocking on the door. There's been miracle after miracle after miracle in Israel. The Messiah has been knocking on the door. And there is no question, that we can have the Messianic redemption in Israel if we have the proper leadership that it would eventually bring the Messiah. Rabbi Kahana was not the Messiah, but he could have created a situation where the Messiah eventually would have come and we would have had the complete Messianic redemption, which leads to all types of incredible miracles in the future. Those of you who are familiar with what the full Messianic redemption means. All of that was prevented for the Jews and for the world by the fascistic, evil, Judenrat, Kapo, self-hating Jewish traitors that run Israel, like Benjamin Netanyahu and the Likud and the phony right and the media and the Israeli Supreme Court and the Israeli media and all the other traitors. They prevented the ushering in of the Messianic era, which could have happened over 30 years ago, could have started. They prevented all of this. They prevented what would have been a new world, a great new world, where there would have been an end to death, an end to disease, an end to illness. It would have been a world beyond what we could describe, way beyond what we could describe. And Rabbi Kahana, we knew how much he was able to accomplish by what he did with a little organization called the Jewish Defense League, which I had the honor of being the national chairman of. And I was there during all these difficult times. Remember, I'm 64 years old, and when I was the national chairman, our fight to free Soviet Jewry led to the liberation of over a million Soviet Jews. With a tiny budget and a small organization, we took on the Soviet Union and we hurt Soviet-American relations badly. Yes, we did it with bombings. Yes, I had to pay a heavy price. I had to go to prison for 5 years as a result of it. But as a result, over 1 million Soviet Jews were liberated. And by the way, it's not just me saying this. Jerry Goodman, who was the national chairman, who was the executive director of the National Conference on Soviet Jewry, he said in a debate with me after we tear gassed the Lincoln Center Soviet Ballet, he said that it was the JDL, that it was us, those of us in the JDL, we forced Jewish establishment organizations, that we're the ones that were the catalyst that got them to act on the issue of Soviet Jewry. He admitted it in the debate. William Berkowitz, who was the president of the New York Board of Rabbis, another establishment leader, admitted that it was the JDL, and he was someone who, William Berkowitz, hated the JDL, condemned them, but he admitted it was the JDL that got Jewish leaders acting on Soviet Jewry. B'nai B'rith Monthly, in its April 1985 edition, had an article which admitted that it was the JDL that pushed Jewish leaders into action on the issue of Soviet Jewry. So Rabbi Kahana, even though they banned him, freed over 1 million Soviet Jews who are now in Israel. Over 1 million Soviet Jews that are in Israel. I'm not even talking about the other Soviet Jews that went to the United States and other countries. But freed over 1 million Soviet Jews are now in Israel and saved Israel's economy, because those Soviet Jews became the brain power that created the technological revolution that we have in Israel now. Israel now is a prosperous country. It was a poor country before then. It was a poor country because of socialism. It was a poor country, in terrible condition economically and otherwise. The Soviet Jewish Aliyah saved Israel, and it was Rabbi Kahana who was responsible for that, and the JDL that was responsible for that. Imagine what he could have done as prime minister. Imagine what a great world this would have been. Today, the people banning everybody, and you have the same mentality. And eventually, what they did to Rabbi Kahana in Israel, that's going to happen here eventually. People who disagree with the agenda of the establishment will eventually be banned here, and they're already being banned from Facebook and YouTube and Google and Twitter. They're already banning. Those are private companies, but eventually they'll be outlawed eventually, the way things are going. The Constitution is going to be completely ripped up, and they'll eventually be outlawed. That seems to be coming down the pipeline. But we're going to just end the program by saying, don't worry. In one respect, you should be concerned, because we have to do everything we can, because things are very bad and this is a very bad generation. But as grim as things might seem, in the end, the good guys are going to win. Something we always say on every program. In the end, the good guys are going to win. The prophets and Hashem and the Bible, where every promise that Hashem makes is, the Hashem being God, is always kept. In the end, God promises that the good guys are going to win and there's going to be eternal redemption. That day will yet come. Until then, we're doing our advertising campaign in Hebrew. We've got 7 Hebrew videos being advertised. Tens of thousands of Jews every month see our videos in Israel. Hundreds of thousands every year. And so we're reaching them, at least someone is reaching them with a message of truth to pave the way for when eventually we're going to have a new era and a new leadership, and the Jews will eventually wake up. The fact that the Jews will eventually wake up, something will eventually wake them up and turn them around, that the prophets promise will happen. That's promised in the Bible. In the meantime, we have a job to do. We've got to get out and tell the truth and try to fight against the forces of evil as best we can. It's a very tough period, just as it was predicted it would be before the Messianic era. It was predicted this would be a very evil time. But just so that you'll know, the darkest period is what precedes the morning. In other words, the darkest period, which is where we are now in terms of people knowing the truth and believing in the truth, that's preceding the great redemption that will eventually come. I don't know if it's going to come in 10 years, or next year, or 100 years from now, or 200 years from now, I don't know. But it's coming, and it's not going to come in 1,000 years. In other words, we're getting close. 100 years or 200 years in historical terms is a very short time, so it's coming. It may not come in our lifetime. Maybe it will, God willing. Maybe it won't, God forbid. But it will come in the next 100 years, 200 years. That will happen. God willing. And so great things are coming, but we have to do our job now because no one is telling the truth. And we've got to get out there and tell the truth, even when it's unpopular, even when it's difficult. We've got to do that and pave the way for the great miraculous things that can yet come. Tragically, 30 years ago, Rabbi Kahana was murdered, and he was banned, but we have to continue the work that is necessary to bring the redemption that could have come had he not been banned, and that will someday come. Someday it will come, but we've got to pave the road by waking as many people up as we can, bringing the truth to as many people as we can, enlightening as many people as we can, so that the situation will be ripe as quickly as possible to bring about a new era in the world. We're going to do everything we can, and you should do everything you can to help us. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.